You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Camila Carlberg. She is the senior curator at the Modern Museet in Stockholm. Camila, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, and thanks for inviting me.
And did I say your title right? I'm afraid I mispronounced the name of the museum.
No, it's Moderna Museet. It's not the Museum of Modern Art of Stockholm, which many people would presume because that's what it is. But the name is Moderna Museet. It's like a trademark. So the pronunciation is like in Swedish, but in English, if you understand.
And tell us a little bit about the museum. I was there once, and it as I remember, was a very beautiful place. What are the current programs there, and as senior curator, what are you working on now at the museum?
Yeah, the current program now is that we just opened a week ago a big show with Olafur Eliasson. And Olafur, even though he's a Nordic artist, has never had a big show in Sweden or in Stockholm. So we thought it was about time to invite him and make him do a larger exhibition. So we are in fact cooperating with our neighboring museum, which is called the Museum of Architecture or ARKDES. So Olafur is in fact on display in two museums at the same time because our neighboring museum is just on the other side of the wall. It's like we're in one building, but two museums in one building. So that's super interesting, and I think it's a very, very beautiful show, which is called Reality Machines. And there are several bigger installations. Do you know his work, Olafur Eliasson?
I do know his work, so that's very exciting. I'm looking forward to you going on about that. So this is the Reality Machines is what the show is called?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he works on the border between art and architecture all the time. So in his installations, there is a lot of light. There is a lot of sense of space. He also works with water in two pieces, and in with sand and with wind and with light. So it's really an amazing experience to walk through all these installations. And also, he's very interested in how we look upon art, and not only the object, but the experience, how we experience the experience of art, so to speak, and also how we look upon each other looking at art. So it's very, very interesting. It's also interesting to look on the people around you and see how they experience and what they feel and how they look at things. So, yeah, it's a very popular exhibition, also for younger people, also for kids. They love it too. So it's a great venue for
it's so
right
experiential
now.
In his exhibit, from the images I've seen from the museum, you know, there's, I mean, beautiful color panels that people are walking around like a maze almost. That's also part of it, right?
Absolutely, that's really so, yes. And that is the part that is placed in the Museum of Architecture, so it really goes well with the whole concept there and with him and the piece.
And where
it's very
the wind
beautiful,
the,
very colorful.
The Excuse wind and sand, how is that being used? Because I, from the work that I know of him, I've never heard him using wind and sand before, but maybe I don't know all his work.
Yeah, it's a piece that is called I think it's called Sand Park, and it's a compression machine, you know, that compresses air. Is it called a compression machine in English?
A compressor.
A compressor. It's a compressor that is placed in a gallery, a smaller gallery, with a lot of very fine sand on the floor. And when you approach this compressor, it starts blowing air through a tube. And it looks like a snake almost, because it moves, this pipe moves around on the floor and pushes air out in the sand and makes the sand blow around in the gallery. So it's quite violent, so one must be careful. But it's moved by your movement. When you move in the room, the compressor or the sensor feels that there is a movement, and then the compressor starts puffing out this air and moving the sand around.
That does sound a little dangerous. Right? I mean, is it just on the kind of ground level, or is this spinning around like you're in a sandstorm and it's hitting your face?
Yeah, not really the face. It doesn't go that far up. But I mean, if you're like 4 years old, you could get hurt by it, really. So it's we advise very young visitors not to go too close to this. So, but it's not really dangerous, no. But one could get hit by it. Yes, that's true. But it's completely safe if you just move close to the walls.
And this is a huge exhibition because you're working with the other museum. This is a giant show for him, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I mean, he has been doing very large installations. You know, he did a waterfall in New York, which I think.
Oh yeah, I know
there.
That one. I think he did a few waterfalls in New York. Yeah.
And he did this enormous installation in Tate Modern like 10 years ago, which was called the Weather Project, where he turned the whole turbine hole into a sunrise experience. So, I mean, he's used to working on a very, very large scale, but for us, this is the first time that we are collaborating with our neighboring museum in this way and having a show that goes into the two institutions, so for us it's really good, really big, and I think for him too.
It's a wonderful, I imagine it is a very popular show because it's so experiential, and children or adults, you know, without even, you know, knowing his work, I would imagine would be would love the show. It's such a
absolutely
great experience.
Yeah, definitely so, and it doesn't require any, knowledge or ideas about what is contemporary art. You can just go in there and have a lovely or interesting experience, and usually that could be the problems otherwise for museums of modern and contemporary art, that people feel that they have to understand what it's about and what is the meaning, and if they don't, they feel disappointed or I don't know. This is Olafur Eliasson's work is very good in order to lower thresholds to the museum and get a broader audience. Which we are always working for, getting a broader audience, that more Stockholmers would know about us and would like to come, and also international people, of course, and people from the rest of Sweden.
So I know you're working on other projects that are directed at young adults, and you're working with other artists. Can you tell me a little bit about those and how those projects began?
Yes. I have in my department, we're running a project series that is called Museum Museum, and it's directed towards young adults. Young adults that have, they have left school, but maybe they don't know exactly where they're going, or they are a little bit interested in culture and art, but maybe they don't really know if that's what they want to do or not. And we have the experience that catching these young people and letting them get to know an artist and get to know the museum can be very, very valuable for them. So we have been doing this for a few years now. And we have been doing projects, for example, together with artists Rivane Neuenschwander from Brazil, and with other people, and it's been very interesting. And right now I'm putting up three projects in this Museum Museum series. One is about existential philosophy, and it's called Is the Art Museum a Cathedral? And then I'm working together with a young philosopher who gathers young adults once a week, and together they look at the art in the museum, and then they have discussions around existential philosophy. And another project within the series is taking a Japanese artist as a point of departure. I don't know if you know about him, but he's called Kuki Tanaka. And this project is more about institutional critique, about doing workshops in the museum that in some ways challenge the institution. This project is led by a Swedish artist called Kristoffer Svenberg, who's very interested in Dada and in performance. And he's working with a group of young people that are, in fact, in a preparatory art school, but they're not in the proper art school yet. So they're quite young, but still they have some ideas of Moderna Museet, which is a big institution. And if you're interested in art and considering becoming an artist, you know something about the museum and maybe have some preconceived ideas what kind of an institution Moderna Museet is. So therefore they spend time in the museum, they do performances, they do interventions, they do videos, and they ask questions about the institution and discuss. And the third
so it's
one...
It's really an educational program. I'm sorry, I want to talk about the third one, but this whole thing for young adults and these projects it's an educational initiative to bring in more people and help them understand the museum experience. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And also to give us their ideas and their thoughts about the museum, what the museum is and what the museum could be, because we need to be in contact with the younger generation and we need to create a relationship with them. And we need to know what the younger generation of visitors and museum goers, what they think about the museum and what they want from the museum, because we want to be relevant also in 20 years, in 30 years. We need to have a close contact with the youngest part of our audience or the younger part of our audience. So that's why it's both good for them and it's good for us. That's my idea with this format, museum. So it's an educational program, yes, it is. But it's not about teaching someone about contemporary art per se, but it's about a mutual relationship, so to speak. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not.
I do. It sounds like a collaborative experience, so that it's immersive, and that when young adults come into the museum and experience whatever is created, that it's something, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my interpretation of what you're saying, that it's an immersive experience where everyone's learning from each other to some extent, and the younger people are learning what a museum is for, which is these kind of challenges.
Exactly. And what an artist does, because it's not obvious that everyone knows what an artist does, especially when we talk about even younger people that are maybe in their teens or something. They have, of course, some idea of what an artist does, but for many, it's very abstract. And also that it's possible to have to be an artist as a profession and to make a living. And how does that work? And what is a creative process? And how does the creative process come to place? And what does it mean? All those things are not so familiar to young people. And I don't know how it is in other countries, but in Sweden, in the school system in Sweden, for many years, the politicians have taken away more and more of the subjects that are related to art and to philosophy and to music and to all the humanistic, you know, subjects. So, and concentrating much more on mathematics and physics and on economy and on, you know, all these, so to speak, valuable subjects, and taking away all these more, you know, artistic ones. So there is a lack of knowledge about art for young people. I feel that very strongly.
Art as a viable career also seems to be something that young people would not know, and even artists have a lot of questions about that. How does an artist create a career? And when you talk about that, or if it's discussed in whatever form, is it different there? How do artists create careers in Stockholm? And is it very different than other places? Because in New York and the States, it's quite difficult for most artists to build a career.
It is difficult here as well, of course. But we still have quite good state grants that artists can apply for and get. So you can get a grant that will give you a totally okay income for 1 year, for 2 years, or maybe for 5 years. And if you are really a serious artist and have been working as an artist for many years, you could get a grant that is valuable for 10 years. So then you get more like 300,000 kroner. That's quite okay for being a grant, and that's a state grant. It's not private in any way. It doesn't relate to how much you sell or how successful you are. But I mean, you just apply and then you can get it, even though you haven't exhibited for 2-3 years or something like that. So yes, that's better in many than in many European countries that I know of.
That's amazing. That makes me want to move to Stockholm right now.
Are you an artist yourself?
I am, but also, is there many, and of course you have to be a resident there, I would imagine, but are there many grants like that, or is there very few?
No, there are quite a few. There are many, I would say, yeah. We have a whole organization that deals only with grants for artists, and both visual artists and musicians and dancers and... So that's still working quite well. I know that in many countries in Europe, these structures have been torn down just the last 10 years. But in Sweden, they still exist. So, and you don't have to be a Swedish citizen. You have to reside in Sweden, but you don't have to be a Swedish citizen. So it's quite generous, in fact.
But everyone doesn't get these grants, right? This is it's selective, or how is it? How is not every artist on one of those grants?
Yeah, no. Not everyone can get them. You have to apply, and then there is a committee in this organization that I just mentioned that selects every year. I think it's twice a year. They select from the applications who should get the grant and who shall not. And I've never worked in this organization, so I don't know exactly what the criteria are. But you have to prove in some way that you're active as an artist and that you are putting this and this much of your time into making art, and also that you exhibit. But it doesn't have to be that you exhibit in very big museums or things like that, but you have to prove that you're active in some way, even if it's not full time.
Well, that's very interesting and sounds wonderful, and it's true. A lot of those programs have disappeared in a lot of other countries, and it's wonderful that that's still there and going strong, because I think artists need that kind of support.
Oh yeah, absolutely so. Definitely so. Yeah, that's good. We hope that it will stay.
Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. I really, you know, love hearing more about the museum, and I'd love to come and hear that see that exhibit. Many people who are listening to this may also come to see it because it'll be coming out in the month of October this year. So that's very exciting. Is there anything else you want to say about the museum before we go?
Yeah, absolutely. We also exhibit an American artist right now, Francesca Woodman. Photography, and it's a smaller exhibition than Olafur Eliasson, of course, but it's a beautiful one. And you know that, you know about Francesca Woodman, she passed away when she was quite young. She was just 23, I think, and she passed away in the early 80s. So she's been dead for quite a while, but her legacy lives on, and it's her parents that take care of her whole oeuvre. And she was exhibited in Stockholm in the late 80s. Her work was exhibited in Stockholm. And one could see immediately how many followers she got from young photographers in Sweden. So she's been very, very influential here. And I think that she's been that all over the world. And even though she was so young when she ended her career, she was so extremely professional and sensitive with all her compositions, with all her subject matters, and with working with the photographic material that it's amazing to see. So that's a show that I really strongly recommend also. And that's on until December, January. So that will be up in Moderna Museet for quite a while. And then there's also, of course, the collection. And our collection is one of the best collections of modern American art outside of the U.S. In fact, we have quite a few extraordinary pieces by both Andy Warhol and Robert Rauschenberg and all the rest, you know, all the pop artists. And we also, of course, have many other things, but we're very, very strong on American art from the 1960s because our then-director, Pontus Hultén, was so interested and had so many American friends. So he bought a lot of pieces that would be completely impossible to buy today.
He's a bit of a visionary, so that director...
he was very, very much a visionary. Absolutely, and I think that he's still quite legendary, and many young curators today want to know more about him, and I don't know how many PhDs are written about him right now, and he's still very, very interesting and very, as you say, visionary, and a role model, I think, for many museum directors and curators around the world.
Camilla, thanks so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure to learn about the museum and these wonderful shows and programs you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. It was so fun to speak to you and to try to convey a little bit an image of what's happening at Moderna Museet in Stockholm.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.